We all live in the age of information.
We're sitting on the most perfect beach in the world, and all we can think about is
where can I hook up my modem?
Every trace of our existence is computerized. Everything about us is encoded somewhere on a complex network of information.
Computers, your life, aren't they?
Yes. Perfect hiding place.
Computer analyst Angela Bennett was just doing her job.
My God.
When she stumbled onto something.
What is this?
She never should have seen.
I plugged it in and I'm staring at the personal medical files of the Undersecretary of Defense, Michael Bergstrom.
Someone's tapped into the system.
How long would it take to track her?
Depends on how long she stays online.
Something.
Why would anybody want to do any of this?
That reaches farther than she could ever imagine.
They hacked into computers and they caused this chaos. Wall Street.
The market panicked as officials suspended trading.
The Department of Water and Power in Atlanta. LAX.
We've lost radar contact.
Now.
It's time to go.
Manipulating her world.
You can make of reality what you choose.
According to the Department of Motor Vehicles, you're Ruth Marks.
They screwed with my information and my fingerprints.
I don't understand. Why me?
Infiltrating her life.
Find whoever she's been speaking to.
No, he was not a diabetic. Where?
And erasing her identity.
We've got an outstanding warrant for Ruth Marks on federal charges.
I am Angela Bennett!
Just give us the disc and we'll give you your life back.
She has the evidence.
She's copied the disc.
Clever girl.
But they have the power. This summer, Sandra Bullock is caught in the net.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
What does it all mean anymore?
I don't know. Maybe it's about the life of Pi.
We're live. The life of Pi. The Pi didn't have a ton of life. It was just... I mean, man, the anti-aliasing on those old monitors didn't really help it out very well, did it?
Not so much. It just looked like a little, like, posted lintel construction. It's not very fancy. It didn't even have, like, that little flare under on the side there, you know?
It may have, but, you know, without a retina screen, I don't know how you can tell.
Well, Macs of the time didn't have that. As you know, all computer experts and hackers in the mid-90s used Macintoshes because they were so good at that.
You can jump into various telnets and subnets and things and do whois lookups on usernames.
Oh, it's all about the subnets, man.
Oh, boy. Are we going right into the movie already?
No. Let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about literally anything else. What's new?
Nothing much new. Just, you know, here, making my way in the world today, everything I got. But, you know, how are you?
I've been better, but it's fine. it's all the work-related things that just everyone hates.
I know. It's also not been, there have been things about this week that the last couple of weeks that I would just like to adjust, hopefully at some point in the future. But
there have been things about this week that can go F themselves.
Perhaps. I'm looking forward to this weekend where I will be having a staycation and not dealing with any of life's little problems.
Are you actually going somewhere?
Well, perhaps you misread my statement of the staycation.
Well, that usually means people stay in the town, but they don't necessarily stay in their homes. Are you staying in your home and just, like, locking all the doors and turning off all the electronics so people can't contact you?
No. But I will be in the Los Angeles area. I don't want to give too much away. But I will be around. But not available for public appearances.
It's good. It's Labor Day. You're supposed to not labor.
Yes, exactly. That's part of my master plan.
I'm totally going to be working on Labor Day. There's too much to do.
Well, I mean, you should talk to your boss about that.
Yeah, my boss is going to XOXO next week and needs to get some crap done.
Oh. You know, I hear all the cool people go to XOXO.
Yeah, they even let some not cool people in this time.
Well, maybe they'll do better next year. Room for improvement, Dan.
Considering they're shutting it down.
Are they?
This is the, as far, well, until they change their minds, this is the last one.
Oh. Well, those are always my favorite.
That's why I tried real hard to get in on this one.
Go at it on a bang, then, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, a couple days in the Pacific Northwest is preferable to being around here, because it was 108 degrees today, and I was not super into that.
It's just a little warm here, but I can't really complain about it around you, because literally, you have so much worse.
Yeah, it was 85 in my office today. I'm sure it was probably not even that hot in Los Angeles outdoors today.
No.
It's too hot. I got hard drives, and they're making noises with terrible fans, and everyone's like, where's my video, and why does it cost so much?
You should send it to them on floppy disks by FedEx.
I should do that. Yeah, that's... she didn't even write do not bend on the thing. Like, that's a terrible way to do business.
Well... You know, she didn't really look after the welfare of those discs very much. So,
remember when instead of websites, everything was a program with backdoors in it?
Also, remember when the whole entire idea of computers was basically like a bunch of animated dissolves between different pixel art images of things with buttons.
I mean, how else are you going to represent a thing being eaten by another thing?
I don't know.
It's eating it away. It's a virus. It's destroying the thing.
God, that virus is so bad. And don't hit escape.
You need some sort of analog for the audience who doesn't understand what's going on. So yeah, let me get that out of the way there. So the virus that she discovered in Wolfenstein was... basically, if you hit the escape key, it destroyed your copy of the program.
Yeah.
That's rather malicious and also peculiar that's how it manifests itself.
Yeah, but don't worry. They'll have it back in stores by the end of the week.
Right. She basically just did like a diff against a thing that she didn't have and then just like selected the parts that were the virus and then put those on a disk.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, once you take the virus out of the software, you got to put it someplace, because it's literally just like a tick or something that you would pull off your skin. You got to put it on the floppy disk and then send it back to somebody else for their archives, because it's a doozy. They collect viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Like butterflies or something. I don't add. And then, of course, she gets Mozart's Ghosts, the coolest band on the internet, which is also a program, apparently. They're mm-hmm. on the internet, but it's a program.
Yeah.
When did this happen? I know there were, like, some things, like, I don't remember what it was called, but I subscribed to, like a digital magazine in the late 90s. They would send you, like, a CD with this weird, like, interactive, like, graphic thing that was, like, a menu, and then it would, like, play different videos and have articles and stuff about bands and crap.
Wow.
You know what I was talking about?
I never had any of those. I had, I think it was 3D World in the late 90s would ship with CDs, or was it the early 2000s?
No, I'm pretty sure they still do that, actually.
Yeah, but back then it was also kind of sad, because they'd have all these things that'd be like, you know, demos of whatever, and it'd be like, yeah, but this is like 20, you know, $2,000 pieces of software and all that stuff. So you're not actually really demoing that stuff, are you? And then you'd open it up, and of course it wasn't. It was just like images of things. And it'd be like, here's a tutorial. Here's a movie about how we did like a thing that looks sort of like something else that was inside of a movie that we kind of did for our cover that's not actually real and authentic. So, you know, it's kind of sad.
Tutorials and templates are very big, and they're very important to a lot of people starting out.
Yeah, also I think 3D World was like a European publication, so all their stuff was just especially weird.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I didn't read 3D World. I know a 3D guy who's super into it. I think he still reads it.
Oh, spoiler alert. I'm not. I didn't.
I still get Post magazine in the mail. I don't know. I feel bad. I should go find somewhere to like unsubscribe because they're wasting some really glossy high color paper on me. Because I basically look at who bought the ad space in the back of the magazine, and then like just quickly flip through it to see like if there are any reviews of relevant hardware or software, and there usually isn't. So I just recycle it like 5 seconds after it shows up.
Yeah, I don't get any magazines in the mail, and I never have. I just buy them at newsstands sometimes when I'm at an airport.
You don't like people to know where you live?
No. Although,
because they might change your name and social security number and sell your house while you're in Mexico.
No, I just don't like being pestered by you know, renewals. And you also don't really get that much out of these things. It's mainly like that endorphin hit. It was like, oh, well, I'm bored. So here's a magazine. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm done. I don't need another magazine. And now you have the internet most of the time. And there was that period, that brief period, where magazines fulfilled the role of the internet when you were getting on airplanes. But even that's basically gone.
Oh, airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah,
they're so susceptible to hacking because they're all controlled by computers.
Yeah, well, you see, when you have computers and your life is on the internet, and you install a piece of malicious software that everyone talks about all the time, no matter who you are in the real world, like whether or not you're like some sort of social worker or somebody on the news, you always talk about
ma'am,
Gatekeeper.
Ma'am, I need to stop you right there. We have Gatekeeper. Thank you.
Yeah, perhaps you haven't heard of Gatekeeper. Can I interest you in some more
Gatekeeper?
Every
time they brought it up, they're like, the interestingly named Gatekeeper, because it protects stuff.
It protects gates and keeps them. These gates are kept.
Oh, God. Download this program and put it on your computer, and it will protect all of your gates.
Man. What about my Gates McFadden? Is she okay, Dan? Is she all right?
Who? What?
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Oh, sure.
That's her name.
Sure.
I don't believe you.
Sure. I have no idea what's going on right now. That's a Star Trek
Gates
thing,
McFadden,
isn't it?
Yeah, Dr. Beverly Crusher. The red-haired doctor lady.
I literally only know that because that was Will Wheaton's character's last name.
Well, yes. But, you know, there's more to her than that.
Okay, I'm just saying that's the only reason you're not talking to silence on the other end of this microphone.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I just got off of a Star Trek podcast, so I might have some gates on the mind. That's all I'm saying. But although she's not really in the movie very much, so whatever. But
was she in that movie?
In First Contact?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. Not very much, a little bit. But so anyway, back to...
More or less than Dennis Miller in this movie.
Oh, God. Less than Dennis Miller. I forgot how much of this is Dennis Miller.
I mean, he doesn't have that big a role in it, but he's
a lot of
Dennis Miller goes a long way.
He has a lot of screen time, though.
I mean, that scene in the hotel room goes on for a long time. Like, she walks over to the bathroom, and then she... In a huff, like walks over and sits in the bed and puts shoes on, and she walks back over to the bathroom, and it's like, what? Can you sit still? What are you doing? I realize that you're like, you know, frustrated and stuff, but you don't have to pace. Like, there's so many camera angles, so many angles.
Well, but see, the thing is, it's not just that. It's when he's in the hospital later and he's just lying there for several scenes and several shots, and he's lying there, and then he's slowly dying, and then they're resuscitating him, and then it's just like, wow, there's a lot of Dennis Miller in this movie, and I'm just surprised by it. Like, I don't really consider him to be a big draw.
Oh, I was not really am so much anymore, but I was a big Dennis Miller fan.
You're reformed.
he fell off the deep end at some point and became the Dennis Miller that he is now. But for a while, I enjoyed his HBO show. It was quite amusing. And then, some of his other comedy here and there. But yeah, let's be real. Like, this movie is what, 30, 40 minutes too long? Like, the scenes are just like... The scenes are just too fat. Like, the editor should be just snipping lots and lots of chunks out of this and just be ruthless. Go in there and just start hacking parts out, because there is so much in here that it's just like, we get it. We get it. Move on. We get it. Move on. And they just don't.
such an enormous amount of the wasted material in this that could be clipped comes in the very, very, very first act of this. I feel like this is quite possibly one of the slowest setups to a movie that I've seen in quite some time. And I saw this movie originally in theaters. I just hadn't remembered every detail of it till I sat to watch it again for this. But
were you big into computers when you were, what, 12?
Yeah.
13?
Yeah, but also I didn't know how they really worked or anything, so I was just like, wow, things. You could order pizza. Anyway.
Pizza.net. Oh, I was trying to look up pizza.net, but it wasn't loading because I think my Wi-Fi is slow. Is that owned by somebody?
I don't know.
Pizza.net. Let's see what comes up.
That's great. It's good to do research.
I just love the form that she fills out with the little check boxes. And although she ordered like a large cheese and anchovy. Like, what kind of horrible person does that?
I don't know. The same person that drinks a Gibson, a martini without the olive, and a onion instead.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the guy specifically explains it to the waiter because he's ordering it, and it's such an unusual drink, and that intrigues her. Ugh. Anyway, so back to the beginning of this movie, which drags on for far too long. It is bloated, and it drags everything to a screeching halt. The best parts of the whole entire film are when she's dealing with the burden and the unfortunate situation, the struggles and the stress of a parent who is an illness related to their memory. And she has these complicated scenes with her mother where her mother doesn't remember who she is. She can't process who she is. She doesn't know why she remembers her favorite things, etc. And that carries through in several scenes throughout the film, and those are the best scenes in the picture. The rest of the time, it's either like gobbledygook about computers that makes no sense, or it's long shots of Sandra Bullock running away from somebody to some music and some scoring, really specifically, not even music. And then what's his face just sort of nonchalantly walking far too slowly and disinterestedly behind her to try to catch her. It's devastatingly slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the setup is what? She is a very talented contract computer engineer / hacker.
She calls herself a beta tester when
beta tester. Whoa, that's over my head. Like,
yeah, when she first meets Jack Devlin on the beach in Cozumel. Obviously not Cozumel, somewhere in Southern California. I don't know if you could tell from the mountains that were off in the distance, but it basically just looks like they were, I don't know,
is it Malibu?
Malibu or Matador or something like that. Like, just somewhere further north. Like, it wasn't Zuma, but somewhere up there. Not that far from Los Angeles. Which is probably
a short jaunt from the little hotel in Santa Monica where they were shooting.
Yeah, which is especially hilarious considering all the Santa Monica shots where it's just like you're basically looking at almost exactly the same mountains, guys. Because they're just kind of beige. They're beige mountains. Let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. There's not much spade stuff growing on that mountain. It's just mostly beige. It's always mostly beige except for like a month out of the year when it rains. And it rains in this movie.
It's always beige in Malibu. It's my favorite TV show.
Good. Gracious.
She's a talented hacker or whatever, and then like somebody sends her a disc with some crazy thing that he's never seen before, and then she like looks at it for 5 seconds, and then all of a sudden she's on the hit list for the crazy government software company because she's seen too much.
Yeah.
And
Mozart's ghost,
the raddest band on the internet. And then they crash her friend's airplane into an oil refinery in Burbank or something. And then that's why you shouldn't fly at night, I guess, because you can't just like see that there's a mountain in front of you and stuff.
Well, you also apparently can't see the con tower lights that are on it until you're 10 feet from it.
What happens when you just trust the instrumentation?
I mean, maybe they hacked the lights. I don't know. But all of a sudden, there were lights on the con tower, and he was 10 feet from it, and then he exploded. What I really love about that is the explosion of the plane, where it's basically 100% fireball in the shots of the plane, but you still cut back to the cockpit, where he's not burned at all or exploded. And then you cut back to the explosion, then you cut back to him in the cockpit. And it is just like, wow, you guys... Even there, there's no reason for this. We know he's dead. It's fine. There was a fireball. We can stop it now. Maybe he was contractually, you know, maybe part of his obligation to their obligation to him was that he be in so many cuts of the film, and so they're like, okay, we'll cut back to you twice during this explosion, and that'll satisfy our requirement.
Yeah, I swear there was an instance where like a car drove through like a fence or like one of those little things that you put down at like a toll booth station or something, and I saw like 7 different cuts of the car going through from different camera angles and then coming out the other side. It's like, well, that wasn't entirely necessary, but okay.
This was not shot very well.
It's so much longer than it needs to be. I don't understand.
Yeah, there's so much of this that could easily, very easily be trimmed. It's not like alternate takes of the same scenes or anything like that, where it's like she's rehashing something and they kept some version of it in or anything like that. It's just tedious. Like they just have these shots where they cut back and forth between her and she's being chased, but there's no tension because it's been going on for too long that we should just get to the cut to the chase, so to speak. Like when they're on the Santa Monica Pier. And it's the most populated I've ever seen the Santa Monica Pier. So apparently in 95, it was huge. Santa Monica Pier was blown up.
Some of that stuff probably hadn't completely rotted away from being next to the ocean. And, you know,
I'm sure
like showered and stuff.
It rots away every 10 years, probably. But that scene in particular drags forever. The stuff when they're in Cosmilk drags forever, where they're like, oh, I'm just getting to know you. I'm just getting to know you, too. Oh, I'm screwing on my silencer now. Okay, let's have sex. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, just cut to the chase. Like, you guys, come on. We know that she's going to be on the run and that her life is going to be taken away. We saw the trailer. So get to that part of the film.
Well, there's also, you know, as we've talked about before, the parts where the audience knows things that the... characters don't is never very fun. So as soon as we learn that Jack Devlin is he hired the guy to steal her purse so he could get the disc or whatever, we're all just, you know, we're counting down until she discovers it and jumps in the little boat and runs away or whatever, and it's not super interesting. So
I would disagree. I think it's interesting, except they didn't cut it down enough. Like it's nice to know that they're is an endpoint for that scene where she's being taken advantage of by this person who has these ulterior motives. It is unfortunately not played very well and executed especially poorly, especially when they're on the boat and it takes forever for the rest of the scene because he already has what he wants, so it doesn't make much sense at that point.
They decided that was a good time to explore her backstory and about how she is estranged from her father and her mom has an illness. She moved around a lot as a kid. It's like, oh my God, why is this relevant?
Don't forget her therapist.
Oh, of course, there's the therapist. You know, she dated her therapist for a little while, but let's not talk about that until we come back to the therapist later because he's the only one she can trust.
Yes, because there is a thread of an interesting idea here where she's someone who is almost agoraphobic, one could say, where she doesn't interact with anyone in her neighborhood. She doesn't meet or talk to anyone. She doesn't want to go out with anyone to dinner. She doesn't want to, even when it's to celebrate a work thing and she could, you know, basically dine out on whoever it is his tab. She doesn't want anything to do with other human beings except to just live out her life in her house by herself, order her pizza online and set up her tickets online, etc., and go and do her stuff and not have to deal with other human beings. She doesn't know her neighbor from across the street. She doesn't know any of the people that she works with, except for the boss that she talks to on the phone sometimes, and the other coworker, Dale. And that's it. She's got nothing. And her mother is suffering from an illness where she can't remember her. So she has no real tethers. And so it really ups the stakes of this particular drama. Unfortunately, they execute it so poorly that you can't actually get to the point where you can suspend your disbelief over some of these things in the film, especially considering it's 1995. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, the thread of the idea is solid, and there have been other movies made similar to this. Like, the first one that comes to mind that was, I think, more successful is Enemy of the State, which was not so much a private hacker group or whatever, but like the NSA doing things that the NSA needed to do for, government purposes, and then somebody kind of finds out and they have to cover their tracks, or at least try to. So, you know, that same sort of idea is in here about manipulating governments and stuff. But in this one, it's just, it's played for children. It's like, imagine if I could use a computer over here and get to the computer over there and change the things on the computer. There's no end to what I could do. All right, yeah, sure.
I'll just click on this icon and go to this subnet and then enter this thing, and then I can change DoD files. Like, it's hard to make that leap here. So that's what I mean when I say it's a thread of a good idea that's done very poorly. Because at no point am I on board with the suspense that we need to be, that we need to believe as the audience. Even things like the FBI agent who shows up at the hospital later on, after her former fling / therapist has apparently died from his diabetic incident, even though he's not diabetic. That guy, you don't believe for a second that he is anything other than someone who's working for these other people. And the fact that he doesn't immediately act on his chance to take her out is suspect. Because we know that there have been other scenes where people have tried to take her out. There was just a previous scene where she was running on the Santa Monica Pier to escape Devlin. And he's listening into their whole conversation and could be like, hey, you could just shoot her right now, because I was, you know, totally going to go do that. But at no point do they do that. And so you can't buy into the fact that she's actually terrorized at any point. You know she will be victorious. Because these people are incompetent.
Organization. It basically, the entire company is, what's his name, Greg, who invented Gatekeeper, and then there's the fake Angela Bennett, and then there's Jack Devlin. That's the entire company, and then occasionally on the side they have Mr. Ben Phillips, but he's not very good, so they don't bring him in all the time, and he let it slip that he knows that the disc was destroyed in Mexico, and that's how she figures out that it's like, he's not a real dude or whatever. But like, yeah, four people have apparently created this conspiracy that took the life of a government guy. I don't even remember what that guy was.
Bergstrom.
Yeah, whatever his...
Yeah. Assistant undersecretary person.
Oh, there you go, that guy. And then all of that, he's going to take over and get his thing installed on all of the government computers. So he'll have access to everything and be able to do whatever he desires, because... Access.
Yeah, it doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense.
Well, I guess the other example of a, I couldn't say more or less successful than this movie, just personally, is Die Hard 4 is this also, with Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, okay. I'll just have to take your word for it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's also, I used to work for the NSA and I told the government they were vulnerable, but they didn't believe me. And then they fired me. So I'm going to do it myself and hack everybody and steal everyone's money and stuff. But John McClane's there to punch his way out of the situation.
Oh dear. So anyway, this movie,
this one has Dennis Miller in it though.
Oh, it's just not,
I'm not a cab. Say hello. He's so Dennis Miller. He sounds like he's doing an impression of Dana Carvey doing a Dennis Miller impression.
He doesn't sell being a therapist. Let me put it that way. Like, what? Regardless of what you may think of his acting chops, he doesn't...
You don't like the super sarcastic guy being a therapist?
I don't buy at any point that he cares, because I don't buy that Dennis Miller cares, because he's Dennis Miller. But he can't pull off the acting here to deliver on this. But
he's not as bad as the undersecretary guy. No. If we're talking about bad acting.
Well, I mean, he's in so little of the film. Undersecretary, we should probably say that the start of this film is just sort of pointless and tasteless, because the undersecretary just shoots his brains out at a park bench. And then there's that shot of some statue in DC. We pan up to the sky and dissolve. There are a lot of dissolves in this film.
Yeah, and I guess we kind of learn about it later, but the premise is that a computer said that he had HIV, and that was a reason he shot himself.
Well, the computer said he had AIDS from a blood test, but then in the autopsy, they found there was no trace of AIDS or HIV.
Right.
And he killed himself because he was apparently very homophobic. Is apparently Devlin's explanation to her about this. That doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense.
No, there was that mention, but no, I couldn't put those two together in my brain, because I go, if somebody told me from my blood test that I had AIDS, I would go, but I didn't know. I don't believe you. Second opinion, maybe?
Yeah, but he shoots himself in the head with a revolver at a park bench.
He goes
bench.
To the park and he eats a sandwich and an apple.
No,
and then
just the apple.
Just the apple. Well, I mean, you don't know. Maybe there were some crumbs.
So it's sort of tasteless and pointless. And they keep referring to Bergstrom throughout the film. And my favorite part is when Dennis Miller cites it. And he's like, "Oh yeah, the Undersecretary of Defense." It's like, "Oh, big news for the, the psychotherapist Dennis Miller that he's hearing
he's
about."
Probably not every week that an undersecretary in Washington shoots himself in a park.
There is so much exposition in the newsreels that are inserted in this film that it is like we're watching a film from a much earlier era.
As soon as anybody is in a hotel room with a TV on, it's just like, "All right, I'm just going to listen to what's on the TV, because I don't need to watch you blow drying your hair or combing your hair or whatever it is you're doing in the mirror there. This is just a vehicle for the news report to be on."
Yeah, and there was what's his face, one of the newscaster guys who was in the David Fincher one with the clown thing. The Game? Was it The Game?
No, that was the one with the clown one. What, you mean the newscaster who was in the
Yeah, all glitchy on the TV in that one, but he was one of the, he was the old guy with the glasses.
Okay.
Yeah. So I recognized him, but he's whenever I'd see him, it'd be like they're paying him for a reason, and then he would deliver some lines, and it'd be like, "Okay, thank you."
Oh my God, thank you for the exposition. His credit is WNN Anchor. Let me read you his IMDb credits. The Net, The Game, The Siege. He plays a newscaster in all three. The end.
I think he was like an NPR guy.
Let's see here. He's an actor writer known for Sputnik Fever in 2007.
Oh, that's exciting.
No, he didn't write that. Wait, what is he known for? He plays himself on a lot of things, on TV shows. Apparently he plays himself.
Okay.
On TV. He wrote one thing called The 20th Century.
All right, I think he is actually a news person of some report, so to speak. But he's fine. But it's just like every time I'd see him, I'd be like, "Okay, lay it on me. What's the exposition?
What do you got, fake news guy?" Yeah, that's the only wrinkle they didn't throw into this, is broadcasting a fake news report just to screw with her, to like try and flush her out, be like, "And today there's a nuclear explosion in Los Angeles. You should all flee your apartments right now," and have her like run outside and get caught by Jack Devlin.
Oh, well, the fake alarm is her move.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know with like three mouse clicks, you can set up a fire alarm in a building?
Did you know with like two mouse clicks, you could echo all the commands from another terminal without logging in successfully to your machine?
Well, the way the internet and computers work is it doesn't matter what your username is. The computer is the one that is the one with the access. So this computer is designated Angela Bennett, and anyone using it is only Angela Bennett would use this computer. So anything that this computer does is authorized for Angela Bennett usage how they treat this.
Right. Which is why she can log all the commands from her other desk so that she can key log exactly what the password was that Angela Bennett had used and then use that password.
Either that or the idea is that everyone stays logged in all day and the fake Angela Bennett didn't change real Angela Bennett's password from when she was a freelance contractor to when they brought her into the real office because it might look suspicious. So they both had the same password for the workstation. She just needed physical access to it.
No. She didn't even need to log in. I don't know if you noticed, but she just walked right up and started using the computer because Angela Bennett didn't log out. But the only thing she had to log in to was when she clicked on the little thing to bring up the back door. And when she brought up the back door, she pulled down the other screen where she had access to the commands that had been logged, and she typed in the password that she had logged. Because apparently, she was able to log all of the keystrokes that the fake Angela Bennett was using.
Was that her Echo terminal command or whatever?
That was her Echo terminal command that she executed from another desk in the office.
Man, computers.
Yeah.
They control everything, and you just hit the right series of buttons and you get everything you need.
Yeah, you've been virused pretty bad. So
virused as a verb.
It really bugs me. It's like, how am I supposed to buy? She's a computer expert. That was like the first thing she says in the film. But the
state of computers in 1995, I don't really remember what it was, but it was pretty bad. Like, there was not a lot of common understanding of computers.
Well, Dan, all you need is a power PC. All of these people had power PCs. It was fine.
I mean, power's right there in the name. That's all you need.
Yeah. And PC, that means personal computer. Power to the people. That's all you need to worry about, Dan. This is just too much power. That's why we had to take away power PCs.
Is that some sort of communist manifesto? What is that? Power to the people? Power PC?
Exactly. So we've taken that all back, and now it's all about intelligence, which is why we're all on the Intel.
No. Oh, man, you see that the KB Lake?
No, what is that? Is that like a move? Like, should I look that up on Urban Dictionary?
That's the new version of Intel chips that are coming out, and they were abandoning their TikTok development cycle. But they apparently made such great strides with 14 nanometer that they brought it back. So they're doing it anyway, which, you know, there's so much confidence when they completely change the company's manufacturing structure that they've had for the past 10 years. And they go, oh, no, wait, no, we could still do it. We promise. So those are the chips that'll probably be in our next laptops.
Oh, good. And those will probably be released in 2018, I'm sure.
No, later this year. But it's basically the Skylake, but it's also way better at 4K playback. 4K playback is very important as long as it's in one of two codecs.
Oh, that's great. I look forward to Cabbage Lake. So,
Cabbage Lake?
Yeah. Bobbing for cabbages in 4K.
Bobbing for cabbages?
Yeah. Well, it has cabbage in the name, right? Cabby Lake? That's just short for...
Oh, it's K-E-B-Y, like a shortened for like a capybara?
Like the giant gerbil thing?
It's a
guinea pig thing?
It's kind of like a giant rat.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't have a tail. Or a short tail, I should say.
Short tail, yeah. I think it's the largest rodent.
Yeah, it is. Did you know that it's actually been ruled a fish? By the Catholic Church.
So much time in the water?
Yes.
It's been ruled a fish by the Catholic Church?
Yes.
Does that explain why Jesus only had two of them and was able to feed so many people? Because they were huge?
Of course.
It's been a while since I've been to Sunday school or whatever they called it.
Yeah, you should really buy the latest edition of a magazine that details all of that Lent monthly or whatever and use the CD that comes with it.
Lent monthly, there are 1.5 issues.
but anyway, I don't want to say anything mean. I'm just
about the capybara.
Yeah, exactly. It is just some strange trivia about the capybara that I happen to remember. They look very strange.
I'm just mostly concerned as to when we started consulting with the Catholic Church as an authority on, you know, genealogy and animals and things like that.
Oh, I don't think anyone did.
They just released a press announcement that said, hey guys, the capybara is officially a fish.
I believe that ruling was separate from science.
So. Yeah, but like, why? What prompted the impetus to announce the capybara as a fish?
I don't remember exactly, and I don't want to speculate, but I do think it has to do with something about water and where it lives and stuff. So there you go.
Okay, that's fascinating information.
Anyway, look up the capybara. And it's fish.
Sometimes
status.
They're cute. Sometimes they're just kind of horrifying.
Very, like their front teeth, especially when they're like that red at the root of the tooth. It's not an attractive thing. It's like beavers. Have you ever seen a beaver up close? That's not a euphemism.
I don't know how to answer that question, so I'm just going to move on.
Okay. So.
So basically, she's in over her head. She goes to Mexico. They trick her with like the lovey-dovey thing and try to kill her on a boat. Doesn't happen. She escapes. She has to pretend to be Ruth Marks because they changed all of her information.
You missed her very convincing crash into a tiny rock.
Oh, yeah. That was great. she escaped on the boat and then crashed into a fake rock in the middle of the water. And then she was in a hospital for a while. And then her disc was ruined, which was ruined by the sun because she was in the water. And then she's Ruth Marks because they changed it in the computer. The computer says that she's Ruth Marks, but she's got to sign the thing in order to get back into the United States. But she does. They sold all her stuff. They're selling her house. Nobody knows who she is because she's a shut-in and whatever. And then they gave her a fake criminal record, so the cops are chasing her. And she has... goes to Dennis Miller because he can help her, and then they kill Dennis Miller by giving him insulin, even though he's not diabetic, because the computer said he's diabetic.
First of all, they did the penicillin thing.
Sure, he's allergic to penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, he hacks Walgreens or whatever, and then apparently puts penicillin in the same little jar that he had his antihistamines in, that, and it's the same size pill and looks exactly the same and tastes exactly the same, and the label is the same as the antihistamines. They were just able to use the computer to change what white pill ended up in that bottle, so he didn't notice, and then he got sick and crashed his car almost into the curb, and then went to the hospital, and then they gave him insulin and killed him, and then Cyberbob died because he knows about Praetorians, cyber terrorists and stuff.
Yeah, well, you just got to do a who is.
You just do a who is, and then you can find out that this one guy is 12, and then Cyber Bob is 39 and lives in West Hollywood, and she's like, help me. And then Jack Devlin sees that because apparently he's just watching all of this all the time because he's, you know, the all-seeing eye of the government. And then he kills Cyber Bob, and he takes over his plan to meet up with Angela at the pier. And then, you know, tries to capture her, but then she, you know, uses the big fuzzy mascot, which we saw earlier, that likes to hug people, which is probably just some random creep who just hangs out down at Santa Monica and like uses that as an excuse to hug people.
Yeah.
She uses that to escape, and then, you know, the chase ensues further.
Mm-hmm.
You get the idea, though.
Yes, I did.
She sleeps in a car, she runs from the cops for some reason, she goes to jail, her mom can't explain who she is because her mom has Alzheimer's. Or whatever illness, they just undetermined illness.
I think it was Alzheimer's. But I love the car chase where she's driving, I don't know where, on what looks like some stretch of PCH.
She's driving back to Malibu, Cozumel.
Yes, exactly. And then it starts raining, which is not something that happens very often in Southern Los Angeles.
Unless you're driving behind a rain truck, which, you know.
She totally was. It's one of those things where it's just like you could just watch how far that water is penetrating into the environment here, and you realize, oh, this is not rain. This is from a truck. And my favorite part about it too is the direction of the rain, because they're basically sending it out of little sprinklers, sort of, And they don't exactly go in one direction. So you sometimes get raindrops that go crisscross. So those are always a delight to me.
Yeah, she was going up to PCH and then drove through like a drive-through car wash.
Basically. And then went down to the river or something and ran through the mud. And then kept muttering her name as she was captured by police officers.
You know,
I'm Angela Bennett. I'm Angela Bennett.
That's all you have to do is name, rank, and serial number if you're captured. But yeah, she goes to jail. She gets bailed out by a fake FBI guy that we talked about earlier. She escapes fake FBI guy who accidentally crashes into the other guy.
Well, she forces the crash.
Sure.
When she realizes
they were on like a bridge or whatever, and then she stomps in the gas, and then suddenly they're in an alley.
Yeah, I have no idea where they were for that. And also then, remember the drawbridge? That was also weird. But so anyway, she gets out of there, and she comes up with some sort of a plan that she's going to go to San Francisco and go to Citadel, and like
Cathedral.
Sorry, different.
It's a very serious software company.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the Catholic Church has to say about that. just
Cathedral
kidding.
Cathedral software is a fish.
Yeah. Oh dear. Something fishy about that. So she goes there. Has no problem getting into the building, even though she has no identification or key card or anything.
Well, she just does that really not suspicious thing of like putting her head down and like covering her face until that guy who goes in the employee only door goes in, and then she can just run up and grab it.
Yeah, that's totally how that works. Also,
there's things that go on too long. She spends like 6 minutes walking back and forth down cubicle aisles, like hiding her face.
Yeah, and also she has the thing where she finds a vacant desk, sits down, and tries to log in and can't log in because they've changed Angela Bennett's... The fake Angela Bennett has a different password. And so she does the whole complicated thing of setting off a fire alarm, which you can do by a couple mouse clicks without any sort of authorization whatsoever, and pick whatever detector you would like in the entire building. And that causes everyone to leave, and fake Angela Bennett is forced to leave by somebody who's very concerned, but real Angela Bennett is hiding.
What are you, Our Lady of Asbestos? There's a fire.
Yeah. And so I thought he said, what are you made of asbestos? There's a fire.
No, he said, Our Lady of Asbestos.
I thought he said made of asbestos.
No, I guarantee you, because I
okay.
I pay a lot of attention to things that are related to the Catholic Church.
Alrighty. I bet you $5.
Okay. I'll bet you five fake internet dollars that he said Our Lady of Asbestos.
Okay, thank you.
You better go watch it before your iTunes rental expires.
Well, I rented it on Amazon, so it's good for 48 hours. Ha ha ha.
Oh, look at you.
Take that, Dan.
Fancy.
mostly because you can stream over cellular, and that's nice to have because iOS, whatevs. We have the whole thing. She sits down and can very easily go through all of her stuff and find all of the discs and all of the evidence by a couple drawer openings, and then skedaddle out of there just in time for fake Angela Bennett to catch her and try to chase her but lose her. Devlin shows up because, I don't know, he was tipped off to go to San Francisco, and she tries to scold Devlin for how he should have killed her a week ago, and he's like, you never should have been sloppy and let her get a hand of all of the disc stuff with all the Mozarts. And so they try to chase after her, and there is some sort of a candlelight vigil parade going on, which seems to be for Bergstrom, but it's not entirely clear.
I thought it was just like a Day of the Dead celebration or something like the skull masks or something.
No. It was AIDS related. There was also pride flags and stuff. So I think it might have been an attempt to further link Bergstrom's death here.
Well, that didn't work because I just saw candles and then skull masks, which doesn't have a whole lot of different themes in my memory.
But see, I see rainbows everywhere, so I'm fine. My rainbow vision picked it up. She runs through the crowd or whatevs, and then he tracks her down, and she runs into the Moscone Center.
It's a good thing that we heard earlier over the intercom that, attention all employees, the cathedral booth in Moscone Center is in the northwest corner.
Yeah.
Which it says twice.
I totally, totally blanked on both of those times. I was like, why'd she run into the Moscone Center? But so she runs.
Yeah, you know, the person who sends out the office-wide memos isn't super up on technology or this electronic mail. So they do things the old-fashioned way, like you're in elementary school and they say the announcements over the intercom.
Well, you know, some places do still use PAs for things.
Please tell me your office doesn't have a PA.
So she goes into the Moscone Center.
Oh my God.
And she makes her way through all of the booths full of all of the Mac computers to the cathedral booth with the Mac computers. And it turns out, according to Jason Snell, that this was shot at a Macworld Expo event, which would explain so much.
I believe it.
Yeah.
They're not going to spend the money to build that whole setup on their own.
No, better piggyback on somebody else's Macs. Where else would they find all these hackers? So she goes to the cathedral booth, quickly finds some unattended terminal, and starts logging
in
and doing stuff.
Which apparently has mainframe access, by the way.
Oh, totally, for sure.
But she tried to delete the Ruth Marx data earlier, but it said you must have mainframe access for that.
Well, see, it didn't have mainframe access. She tricks What's-His-Face into it.
Oh, it's because Angela Bennett didn't have mainframe access and she had to wait for Jack Devlin to log in?
Yes, because all she did was put the virus in and then she taunts him to hit the escape key. Somehow knowing that he needed to do that to reverse her changes or something?
Well, she just
no
knew
sense.
That the red disk virus that she had earlier, the Wolfenstein virus, used the escape key to ruin everything.
Yeah, but she didn't necessarily know he was just going to like hit the escape key to clear out all of the stuff that she had done.
Well, he said you just got to escape the system, and how else do you do that other than by hitting escape?
Yeah, because she had said she had emailed all the stuff.
Right, now, you just log into the FBI and hit escape, and then it's gone.
Yeah, so he goes over there and does that, and then all of a sudden the screen starts to like pixelate Photoshop, whatever that Photoshop filter was, it starts to chop up into little itty bitty pentastar bits, and he's like, oh no, and the fake lady's like, oh no, and then they go chasing after her and she runs through some stuff and then fake lady gets shot and falls over dead, and then the real Angela Bennett goes out onto the catwalk. On the catwalk I do my little turn on the catwalk, and she gets around him and then back to the door, and oh no, it's a good thing she ran into that fire extinguisher the first time when she was going to the door, because now we know that she could possibly have reached for one and has one in her hand so that she can knock out Devlin in slow motion over
twice.
The side of...
Hits him twice, by the way, because we got to do everything twice for the audience.
Not just twice, but twice in slow motion. So
he lands on a forklift.
Like a crate, like a pallet on a forklift, and that like crushes every bone in his body, and he's dead instantly. And so we dissolve from that happy scene to flowers, and stuff, because it's the end of the film, and things. And
she's got her house back. Mom is out of the county sanitarium and helping plant flowers. Her memory's not any better, but you know, they're spending time together and helping out and stuff. And then there's just there's TV or radio or something recounting the fact that Angela Bennett reported Mr. Gregg or whatever for all of his violations, and he got arrested and stuff. And then there were two unidentified bodies at the Macworld Expo.
Nope. One of them was identified.
One of them was Ruth Marx.
Yep. Which was apparently what she had signed up to be when she had to get her temporary visa back into the U.S.
You know, if you're going to, like, give somebody a fake, like, name and personality in the computer to, like, screw with everyone, maybe don't make it the name of one of your operatives?
No. And also, one of the things that really confuses me is all of the fake stuff that was made up about Ruth Marx. I can't figure out if that is something they made up about her in addition to giving her Ruth Marx's name, or if that was also part of Ruth Marx's character.
No, he made it up. He was literally typing it in his car outside when
okay.
The cops were there.
Yeah, and so the
Ruth Marx would be pretty pissed when she got her name back. They didn't take all that stuff off.
Oh, one of the stranger things was also he wrote down that she had some sort of derangement from venereal disease. It was
yeah.
That's. I guess we're in the 1910s or something. Anyway, she got all this stuff back. Big overhead shot of things. Happy music credits.
Yeah, just like the opening shot where they do that like weird super long crane shot over San Francisco and then down to the skylight into her quote unquote office or whatever. But yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess that wasn't San Francisco, that was Los Angeles into her office.
Oh yeah, I guess it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. And also apparently she lives in Venice because when she does her running around the first time, there were the Venice canals and the little bridges again.
Yeah. They say Venice when she's in Cozumel and that's her address.
Yep.
And then she hides in Santa Monica, real far away. Yeah. Good job.
Well, it's still like a good 20 minutes, Dan.
It depends on which route you take. I guess this isn't too surprising, considering it was directed by a guy who was born in 1931.
Well, what's really surprising is that he doesn't do a lot of directorial things, but he does a lot of producing.
Yeah, he's a very very well respected and credited producer.
Yeah, a lot of Scorsese pictures,
mm-hmm,
especially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you happen to notice what he produced in 2006?
Home of the Brave.
Right underneath that,
the Net 2.0.
Yep.
The direct to video.
Direct to video version of the Net 2.0.
Yeah. No, I did not watch it. Also, it was directed by Charles Winkler.
Oh, is that a kid?
I'm going to make an assumption, but let's find out, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Doesn't really say. No, we have move ups in the chat. No, we have not seen the Net 2.0. Oh my God! Please tell me you've seen the Net 2.0. Oh my goodness. He directed some TV movies, apparently.
Great.
It's quote-unquote amazing.
Son of Erwin Winkler and Margot Winkler.
There you go, see?
It's a family franchise.
Yeah, nepotism gets you everywhere in Hollywood.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least to direct a video. I guess that's everywhere.
Man.
His last directing credit after the Net 2.0 was in 2009 for Streets of Blood. Also direct a video.
Well, the kid?
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say, the producer guy. He didn't direct a lot of things.
No. Not so much.
I wonder if they're related to Henry.
I mean, he was an actor in The Net, he was a cop.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah,
there was a TV series, The Net?
Yeah. Yeah, there was.
Oh my. I remember this. Who played they did the same character, right? Angela Bennett, who played her Brooke Langton. I don't know who this is, do I?
I have no idea. Also, I don't know who Nikki Deloach is either. So
who's that?
She was apparently Hope Cassidy, who appears to be the star of
The Net 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at The Net, the TV show.
Yeah.
Computer programmer. Angela apparently she's a computer programmer now, she's not just a beta tester. Discovers a shadowy group of cyber terrorists who completely erase her true idea. Oh, so it was basically the movie, but in a TV series.
Yep.
Falsely labeled as a criminal. So basically she's Batman.
I guess. Only
she's a vigilante on the run.
Her parents didn't really die so much, but
We don't really know about the dad, she won't say. Tim Curry was in it. Well, Tim Curry was in the TV show The Net.
Tim Curry was in a lot of TV shows. It's not really a sign of quality.
Apparently he must have been a hacker because his character name was Sorcerer.
Oh dear.
He was in 9 episodes. We might have to watch this.
We are not volunteering to do that for the next episode. Save that for some special occasion.
Okay.
Overall verdict on The Net, bad.
It's way, way, way too long. The premise is interesting, as noted by the fact that they've done it again a couple times, but I mean, they've mostly been action movies, like Enemy of the State and Die Hard 4 have a lot more of the chasing and the action and the panic and the craziness associated with it. And the hackers, bad guys are more empowered with greater control over things. But at least in those instances, it's like a team of like a large company of hackers doing things. It's not just like one dude in a car with a laptop.
Yeah, well, on that theme, it's also been done well as a thriller. If you watch Sneakers, which was a few years before The Net,
Sneakers is great.
Yeah, so it's possible to have these sorts of movies about identity and you know, being able to change someone else's life digitally and rearrange power structures when you have access to things. It just is not always executed very well by most people, especially this movie.
Even in Sneakers, it was a hardware box that you plug into your computer and suddenly that cracks code.
Oh, yeah.
Sneakers is still great.
Yeah. It mostly
also San Francisco.
It's also not really like an action movie where people are running around as much. It is mostly like a puzzle solving mystery thriller thing. So it's different. Yeah. Different vibe.
Sense as opposed to this movie, which has none.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wonder how this stacks up against Black Hat. I haven't seen it.
I tried to watch a couple minutes of Black Hat, and I couldn't even... Like, I came in the middle of it or whatever, but he was just, like... He was, like, partying or something, but he was, like, naked in bed with some chick, and then he woke up the next day, and it's like, they did the hack or whatever. And it's like, oh, my God. Turn it off. Get out of here.
Oh, man. I like him so much better as Kevin in Ghostbusters.
Still haven't seen it.
I don't want to over-recommend, because I feel like one of the worst things you can do is overhype something for somebody. So,
well, it's not overhype.
I know, but you usually have such a low opinion of things that I don't want to push you over the edge into this. So
I don't have a low opinion of things.
Yeah, well,
other than myself, right?
Oh, that's kind of sad. But yeah, yes, the movie's done.
Sandra Bullock's good. I mean, she's believable.
Yeah.
Good actor.
I mean, I like Sandra Bullock, and I think that the scenes that she has with her mother are, like I said earlier, some of the better scenes in the film. I think that she can play very convincingly in scenes where she's not being asked to do this sort of gobbledygook nonsense stuff. Something that she could learn to do much better when she's playing an astronaut, let's say in Gravity. But at this point in her career, I think, especially with this particular dialogue, it was a bit of a struggle for her. So it doesn't always land successfully.
Yeah,
but I think anyone would have struggled with this because it's crap. What I really wanted to see, though, is our last movie was Stallone, and this movie was Sandra Bullock, so we need to combine the two and watch Demolition Man.
I would be okay with that.
Of course you would. It has Taco Bell in it. In some countries. Snyder. In some other countries, it does not have Taco Bell.
And it has, what's his name? Dennis Leary, a different Dennis.
Yes, a better Dennis. I mean...
Well...
Let's...
talk about, like, hiring a comedian and sort of letting him off the leash. Like, there's those times where he basically just does Dennis Leary stand up in the middle of the movie.
Yeah. Whoopsie. You also have a guy in white robes, so it's great. The Beetlejuice guy, he's there.
Which one?
The assistant guy.
The assistant guy.
Anyway, it'll click when we watch it, because we're totally gonna watch that at some point in the future. I don't know when. Maybe next time. maybe some point in the far
next
off universe.
Week yeah. On Defocus. Yeah, apparently that's my super friend's voice.
We should do same bat time, same bat channel, but I think that's copyrighted. And also, we don't actually do anything at the same time or same any particular.
I mean, it's usually the same time ish.
About
when we do it live.
Like if you squint. yeah.
Yeah, well, 1995.
Yep.
Eesh.
We really peaked after Jurassic Park, didn't we?
Totally. I mean, they should have done more practical viruses in this movie. It would have been way more successful than these like weird computer animated things.
Yeah, could you imagine if they had just done some Go Motion pizza in the displays for when she was ordering pizza? That would have been fantastic.
Yeah, it would really added some credibility to the filmmakers.
Yeah, or when she's she's talking to herself during her weird chat room conversation, and the computer is talking back to her, but it's not a synthesized voice that's reading off the characters on the screen, but rather like people trying to pretend like they're computers.
Well, she just has multiple synthesized voices that she's programmed.
Of course.
What's the OS X command to make it talk? Is it speak?
I think so. And you can do that on the command line.
Yeah, I used to do that.
Yeah.
It's fun for like 5 minutes, and you're like, all right, I gotta stop.
Yeah, and then you run through all the voices, and you're like, Trinoids? Oh, that'll be great. And then you're like, no, this got old real fast.
This is slander. Trinoids never gets old.
It was old in 1995. Oh, say. Yeah, move up says say. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Speak. Woof.
Yeah.
What's that, Mac? Timmy fell down a well?
Oh, Dan.
But is my pizza going to be here on time? That's all I want to know.
I ordered pizza by the internet, via the internet tonight.
Did you really?
Yeah. It wasn't from pizza. It was from a different site. But it's one of those things that sounded really cool in the mid-90s because you couldn't do it back then. And then we live in the future. And you could totally order pizza by the internet. And it's the best thing ever because I don't have to talk to a human being.
I know, right? In the future, you could even conceivably get like groceries and beverages or even food from all kinds of different restaurants.
I know. Like, what if you had a service that was like the best kind of service, like maybe like a prime service, and it wasn't just like a period of days. It was like right now. What if it was like prime now? What if you had that, Dan?
Or maybe like an accelerated version of like, maybe you have like a friend who works for the post office and you can call him your mate.
Oh.
And he'll bring you food.
Yes, the mate's post. Yeah.
The mate's post.
I feel like that's a place that pirates hang out or something. But, yeah. How has life changed for you now that you can order things via the internet?
Well, we only did it the one. We did it both in one day, so that was pretty great. We got some fizzy water and what do we get, like napkins or something from Prime. And then we needed napkins, and I didn't want to go to the store just for napkins.
Oh no, I've ordered totally banal things with Prime now. It's like,
okay, good, yeah.
Yeah.
I got 2 8 packs of Rise fizzy water, which was fine.
I ordered some socks. I've ordered water. I've ordered body wash. I mean, anything totally boring, you can order with Prime now.
They could use a little better selection for snacks in our town, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, see, here we have, if you go up to a $35 limit, you can order from the Bristol Farms that's near us, which is a chain of grocery stores, a higher end chain of grocery stores. So I can get whatever they carry from Bristol Farms.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. You can't combine orders, though. So if you need to get something from Amazon Prime's stock, then you can't like add like a couple things and get to the money limit. They have to be two different things. So you have to hit the $25 limit or whatever on the Amazon order and the $35 limit on the Bristol Farms order. So you want to kind of be shrewd and combine things as much as possible. Also, it's not really worth it to do the refrigerated items, I find, because I've had a couple of occasions where they delivered like something that was frozen to me that seemed a little less than frozen. I don't want to say completely thawed, but it was close. It was one of those things where I'm just a little dubious about that part now. So I still go to the grocery store for anything that I would want to eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The food things. Our Postmates food. Luckily, the delightful Cornish Pasty Company also does take out in part baked. So you can get a part baked pasty and then finish it in your oven. And that was the way we went. And it was great, of course.
They call it part baked, not par baked.
Part. As in, they part way baked it.
I know, but par bake is that's like a term. I've never heard of part baked.
Usually, I'm pretty sure they say part baked, not like half baked.
No, but it's a different movie. But there's and Ben and Jerry's flavor. But there's par baked is also like if you go to the Trader Joe's, you can buy the par baked loaves of bread.
Do they hold the loaves of bread in front of a very powerful light? A par is a type of film light, by the way.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, there's like a, you can get like a 12K PAR. It's basically, instead of a Fresnel lens, it just has a clear lens.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to like a golf joke or something. And I was like, I don't know what that has to do with lights.
No. It's just a PAR. It doesn't have a Fresnel lens in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you ever been to a Dupars?
Dupars? No.
No. Well, they're over in...
There's people who sell paint, right?
No, that's DuPont. I think. But
oh, that's the guy from the Foxcatcher.
Yes. No, but over at Dupar, they're in the LA Farmers Market over in the Grove area. Mm. Yeah, they you know, your Mid City Wilshires next to your CBS Studios, they're right there, and they have a diner thing, and you can have pancakes and stuff. It's fine. It's not worth the wait.
Okay.
I'm glad I told you that story.
That was a great story. Thank you. I appreciate that. Somebody local is going to appreciate that.
I mean, this is really this is a podcast for people who are in the industry.
Also in the Los Angeles area.
Definitely, because that's where the industry is totally at 100% of the time.
should we start making Canadian jokes?
No, eh? We should. No, I'm just kidding. we shouldn't do that.
How about that weather up there on the coast?
Oh, that weather up there is frightful. But the fires down here are so delightful.
oh my god. Oh, there was a fire so bad they had to call in an extra unit of the mounted police.
Oh dear. So we're
I don't know much about Canada.
Well, they have reindeer. Before we go into any more reindeer games, let's nip this in the bud, eh? So,
okay, it was good talking to you too, buddy.
Yes. Sorry.